Welcome everyone to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I'm the host of this podcast and the creator of Balance by Megan. On this podcast, we talk about all things yoga, wellness, health, and spirituality with guests from around the world. So grab your crystals, grab your essential oils, and let's dive into it. Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of this show. April 19th. I feel like we talk about this all the time, like, where does the time go? But, like, actually, where has the time gone? Part of me feels like it has been so long. We've been in, like, 1900 lockdowns here in Ontario, and the other half of me is saying, like, it's April 19th. Like, how crazy is that? So we've had beautiful weather the last little while. I'm living for it. For those of you who joined me last Saturday, so the 17th of April, for my manifestation meditation teacher training, thank you so much for those of you who joined the training. I had an absolute blast. I hope you did too. And I hope you gained so much value from it. I absolutely love this training. This is everything that I was looking for when I was starting out on my journey. This is a combination of meditation, human design, and manifestation. It's sort of what I feel is missing in the manifestation world. And I'm just so thrilled. I'm so grateful for those of you who joined me for this training. And if you missed it, you have to stay tuned for the next announcement of another round of it. I don't know when it will be, but maybe we'll go ahead and do that this 2021 year. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Cam Fries. This has been a long time coming. Cam is a yoga teacher with Moto Yoga. He's a runner, a soccer player, and hockey player, and all-around amazing and inspiring guy. Cam and I used to work together at Moto Pickering, so shout out to that location. And I would be finishing up my shift as he was coming on to do his shift, and we connected right away. He's just a really awesome, amazing yogi and friend. On this episode, we talk about being diagnosed with runner's arthritis at 27 years old, using yoga after a knee injury to help speed up his recovery process, how yoga has changed his perspective and outlook on life to more positivity, as well as improved his athletic ability. We also discuss when he felt ready to take his yoga teacher training, how we can find comfort and solace in walking away from things that stress us out and make us feel negative, what spiritual competition is, and why we need to let go of it in the yoga world, plus so much more. You guys are going to love this conversation. Cam is so open about his journey, what he was like before he took his yoga teacher training, what he has felt since taking his training, and kind of what that transition was like from being a student to becoming a teacher. And always, always, always being the student. So you guys have to go check Cam out, especially if you're local. Make sure that you check him out at his home studio in Brooklyn, Ontario. And you can use the link in the show notes to connect with him directly via Instagram and all of that good stuff. So with that, please welcome Cam Fries to the Balance Your Life podcast.
Welcome to the show, Cam. I am so excited to have you on.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So a little context here for anyone who's listening. Cam and I used to work the same shift. No, sorry. I would finish my shift and you would come on to your shift at Moto Pickering. And that's how we connected.
Yeah. We shared some Crave donuts and had some good times. So you're a good person, and I've really liked everything that you posted on your social media. So I'd love to support with anything.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this podcast for a little while, but I know you're a busy guy, and I'm just so excited that we were able to connect and make this work. For a little context, can you give our listeners a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining us from today?
Yeah, sure. My name is Cameron Fries. I'm currently at my home studio in Moto, Brooklyn. I've been here for, I'd say, probably close to 11 years. I started off as an energy exchange and, you know, slowly kind of built my yoga world up and definitely fell right into it after a couple of years. And then I got offered to work front desk. And then once I was front desk, then I really thought about becoming a teacher. And then once I ended up going to Kelowna to become a teacher, then now I'm here all the time.
Yay. Yeah. I'm curious, what was that first step for you into a yoga studio? Like, why did you decide that yoga was the route to go?
Well, it was inadvertent, to tell you the truth. It was a girlfriend and one of my best friends at the time who kind of coerced me into coming and trying it out. But, you know, I got the free passes and I came and I showed up with a long sleeve shirt and a Gatorade thinking like, oh, I run 90 minutes for soccer. I can handle 60 minutes of hot yoga. But within 15 minutes, like my shirt was off, like I was like literally dying. At the end of the class, like I swore at my girlfriend saying like, I can't believe you brought me to this. And then the next day, a woman named Morgan, who was, I believe, the accountant at that time, was my store manager when I worked at the Gap at the Oshawa Center for all those years. And she reached out to me and she said, why don't you come do energy exchange and then you can be a part of this, just like you're a part of the Gap. So, you know, it took me about a couple weeks just to kind of talk myself into, like, this is a really good workout. I'm not much of a gym guy, so doing regular sports is kind of how I keep fit. But then once I figured out that yoga kind of helps out with getting the stretches whenever muscles are tight, and even like that, I ended up finding out that I have runner's arthritis in my knees, and that was diagnosed when I was 27 years old. So my doctor told me, he's like, try yoga out. It just increases blood flows in that troubled area and you should be okay. So, you know, let's fast forward about a year into me practicing. I hyperextended my left knee and twisted it all at the same time. And I didn't have any major ligament damage, just strains. But within, I'd say probably about a month, I was able to start running again just by using the foundations of yoga and building up stabilizer muscles to help solidify like my joints. And that's kind of what I've been telling a lot of people is that yoga, I find, is a good workout. But what I've been just noticing with things with myself, it helps strengthen from the joints out. And for me, dealing with arthritis in my knees as well as in my hips, like it's made a huge difference. And when I don't do yoga, I really feel it within a couple weeks. And let's just say there's been times where I haven't been able to do any yoga in 2 weeks. Then when I go back to the studio, it's like I started all over again. So it's a weird thing, but it's also a beautiful thing. So I'm honored that I'm surrounded by a lot of positive people. And I've the smile on my face whenever I think of all the amazing people that I've crossed paths with. So I'm beyond blessed about yoga, period.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there's so many ways that I want to take that, because one, it's so funny. I think when people think of coming to like, quote unquote, yoga as a workout, especially the people who are like into the gyms or they run, they kind of like roll their eyes. They're like, all right, like, let's try this thing. Thinking it's not going to be like a workout. And I've done it with friends where they've come in and like, same thing like you, 10, 15 minutes in, they're like, what in the world? I thought you said we were doing yoga. And I'm like, I know, yoga, right? Is so much. Like, this is a workout for this one.
But I think that's for me, like, I enjoy a challenge, you know? So when I'm feeling uncomfortable with something like that, and like, realistically, I kind of feel like there's got to be a benefit behind this discomfort. So I stuck with it. And then now I wouldn't say that I'm thriving in it, but I definitely feel that I am a pretty positive person in this industry. Sure, I've got room to grow and I'm constantly trying to learn on a daily basis. But at the same time, I'm also trying to slow things down and kind of become a little bit more grounded and a little bit more present with whatever's in front of my face rather than worrying about what's around the corner. So it's definitely changed my perspective as well as like my athletic ability at the same time.
Yeah, I would actually love to ask you about that, because it's one of the things we talk about for people in my circle, at least. It feels like you start to kind of notice the physical changes in your body, right? You're like, I'm holding this pose a little longer, I'm feeling a little stronger. And it's the reciprocal effect, or that domino effect of like, all of a sudden you feel like you're more responsive rather than reactive to things. You're not as angry or triggered by things.
Which is my biggest thing.
Yeah. And what was that kind of transition like for you? Was it something you noticed over a long period of time, like a month into your practice? Or was it like you were like, wow, I noticed a difference immediately, or a year out? Or like, what was that like for you?
When I first started doing yoga, it definitely took me, it took me 2 years to really say, you know what, like, you like this, it's benefiting you, like, you go all in. And that's like, sometimes my tendency is the second that I'm dedicated to something, I really dedicate myself. And that first 2 years, I did show up just for a stretch, just for like a light workout and being around people. But, you know, it's, I definitely got a little ahead of myself. But at the same time, I feel that like it's given me the availability to look, take a step back and then look at things objectively, but at the same time, know that I am not able to change everything around me. And to let that be, yoga has definitely gave me the tools to kind of let go of control and certain aspects. Like I was mentioning before, I have no idea what to expect, but at the same time, like, that's what I kind of thrive in, is just jumping in and not having any kind of expectations, but just trusting in, I guess, in myself, as well as my education in yoga, that like, I kind of do feel like I know what I'm talking about. But like I said earlier, I've got rooms for improvement and I'm all in. So, but the biggest thing for me was acknowledging your own anger, acknowledging your own control, and kind of just letting it go. And although it may have taken me 6-7 years to eventually kind of be able to notice emotions and feelings and be able to narrow them down in terms of the actions that are causing these emotions, then I have everything to thank for yoga, 100%.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for bringing that up. And that's one thing that I feel like you and I have in common, is I am someone that I spontaneously make decisions to kind of like hop in. And I do very well if I can hop in and keep going. It's when I start to like second guess myself, or some time has passed and I'm like, oh my God, did I, like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And one of the things that yoga has very much taught me is to stop beating myself up over decisions, or to stop like being so negative to myself. That was like, that was probably the biggest aha moment, was like, I remember being in teacher training and just crying and being like, I finally realized that I'm not mean to myself anymore as much. Like,
yeah,
you know, have days
as much. That's key. Yeah. Cause everybody is critical of themselves. Like, even the most like positive person that I've ever met in my life, like, you could totally tell there's some things that hold them down. And I think that's just part of human nature, is to acknowledge the things that hold you down. And in time, I would like to think that in time, things eventually do buff out. But unfortunately, like, peers, media, as well as environmental effects and socioeconomic, all that stuff can hold people down. So just being able to maneuver and flow yourself through these negative things to eventually bring your best version of yourself out. But unfortunately, it may take 50 years. So to think that like it's just joining yoga is a light switch into better life and better living, it's not the case. Like, you're on a daily basis trying to better yourself.
Yeah.
And I love that. So
it's a journey for sure. I would love to know, what made you decide that you were ready and you wanted to become a teacher?
Actually, it's a pretty funny story. I never really thought anything of it. I got into Thai massage first, A friend, or my girlfriend at the time, gave me a little 90-minute gift card that my friend Talina gave me. And within 20 minutes, I was like, I need to do this. I need to be a part of this. So I ended up doing 4 out of 6 levels at Lotus Palm and kind of realized that, like, I love the training. I love being around positive people. And, you know, going to do a massage training for 5 days, you're giving massages for 5 days, but also you're receiving it for 5 days. So I became addicted to all things yoga training. So once I was covering front desk, okay, and unfortunately this teacher was from Toronto, so she was driving to Brooklyn, got caught in traffic, and was about like 15, 20 minutes outside, and it was like 5 minutes to class starting. So she was like, it's a flow class or vinyasa. So I'm like, oh my God, like I do vinyasa classes, but I don't really have much to back up on. But I went in that room, I quieted my mind, and then just pretended like I was in my friend Janine's class and just mimicking her class. And I'm telling you, like when everybody stood up and I told everybody to take a breath in and a breath out, and everybody did it, I was like, oh my God, these people are actually listening to me. And it was very empowering. But within 5 minutes, a guy got up and then left to go wait into the bathroom until like Sabrina ended up showing up. I was like, oh no, I hurt this guy like so fast, like right off the bat. But it definitely, I held on to that within my heart. And I was like, I definitely want to be a part of this. I started talking to all my senior teachers. The majority of them told me, don't quit your full-time job. Do this as a part-time gig. I'm extremely grateful for the full-time job that I have that gives me the availability and the support for me to do this. But yeah, like the second that I did teacher training, I fell in love with it. It tore me down. Within 3-4 days, I started crying and had my breakdown where I needed to call my studio owner and ask her for a little bit of motivation and advice. And what she told me was, and what she realized is, because I went to a vegetarian/vegan diet right off the bat, I didn't really give myself a proper like transition into a completely different lifestyle. So I almost started like losing like my energy and becoming weak within like the first couple days. And I couldn't even last a 60-minute hot class because of the lack of energy that I was having. So she just told me, she's like, take a step back. She's like, you're 120% guy. Come into the room at 50% and slowly build yourself up. And that, just with that right there and her kind of changing my perception, pushed me through the rest of the month. And I was able to actually be kind of a rock for a lot of the people who were breaking down later on in that month. I was lucky enough to break down at the beginning of the month. So yeah, I'm extremely grateful for the teachers and the senior people around me. Like I am part of a franchise, but a lot of my other close friends are also yoga teachers outside of this franchise. And I get to hear their perspectives and their motivations. But then when I met like the senior people, like the Moto International, like trainers and teachers and owners, I just felt that I was at home, like other like-minded people just like me helping each other out. So it's nice to be a part of a community that's so wide and diverse.
Yeah, so. No, for sure. I would love, if you're open to talking about it, to talk a little bit about what some of those breakdowns were for you in teacher training. It's, you know, I've talked about it before on the podcast. I'm like, I cried my whole 200-hour teacher training.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In a really good way, but it was just, it's so like, somebody described it as having like, you know, 6 months of therapy in a single training. And training in my case lasted, like we did it once a month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it took a little longer at the time I was working. So it made sense for me, but it is one of those things that like, I don't want somebody to hear this and be like totally freaked out, like break down, what's going to happen? It's like a destroying of the old to make way for the new. Is how I felt.
I describe it as yoga took me out of the North American male shell. That's the best way I could describe it. I've always been a very articulate person when it comes to my feelings and everything, but like on the complete opposite of the spectrum, when it comes to like women that I'm interested in, I can't talk to them. Like if I'm not, it's really hard for me to explain, but yeah, it's once I ended up doing the teacher training and kind of, you know, broke down right at the beginning, just because like, you know, I'm such a go-hard that I was breaking down like physically within 3 days. I was like, how am I supposed to survive another like 25 plus days like with all this, right? So I don't know, my breakdown at the beginning was just almost a disappointment because I wasn't able to be my complete outward physical self. But what I realized that situation right there was all based on competition. And a lot of the things that about yoga is you have to let go of that competition because everybody's yoga practice is completely different from the person right next to you. And it's not like my ability in some certain classes, like I feel good about it. It's just, you know, I'm just down on myself because I can't perform the way I am used to. And although it's not competition against somebody else, it's competition against myself, which I think at in times is extremely positive and needed, but at that time, not needed. Just let everything go, be who you are, and eventually in time, things will eventually unfold. That was meltdown number one. Meltdown number two was something completely different. And when you mentioned like beauty behind that meltdown, that's exactly what it was. And it's all because of me hearing a song that I haven't heard in probably about 10 years. And it's called Plastic Bag Theme by like the American Beauty soundtrack. And there's a scene where like there's a plastic bag that's like floating in the wind and it's just hovering there. And the guy speaks about like, you know, trusting in the world, trusting in yourself, and also being open that beautiful things happen around you on a daily basis, like almost on every minute. But it's the ability to take a step back and to notice that beauty is kind of what strips you away. And with me hearing that song, going through everything that I was going through, a friend of mine ended up dying from cancer in his 30s while I was over there. My dad fell and broke his collarbone while I was over there. A lot of things out of my control happened when I was supposed to be like focused on yoga training, but at the same time, I'm supposed to be thinking about something completely else, but I'm balancing two things. And then hearing that song completely melted all of my negative priorities away. So I was able to focus on myself. And then once I was able to go home, then I would be able to focus a little bit more energy onto it. So I was sobbing. I was like I was in pigeon pose, face to the ground, like forehead on my forearm, and just sobbing. And like, I remember lifting my head up and I was like, Esme, what are you doing to me? And it was like all just because of one song. So it's weird. But then when I came home, meltdown number three, I was staying at my parents at that time because I missed them so much. And I'm sitting in the backyard. My mom's like cutting little flowers and I'm sitting there just eating a sandwich. And then like, I look at my mom, I see how like delicate she is with the flowers, how beautiful the flowers are. And then the whole like situation and environment around me just kind of, you know, turned a little bit brighter. And I was able to realize like, this is a beautiful moment that I'm spending with my mom right now. Like we're not talking, we're not making eye contact. Like we're just enjoying each other's presence. And to me, I fell into that moment, started crying. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, like, this is beautiful. I am so thankful that I am here right now, experiencing being around you, experiencing something that you find beautiful and just clipping little flowers, you know? So it's been a whirlwind of emotions, but at the same time, I'm extremely grateful for that at least yoga has given me the ability to narrow down my emotions and kind of find out where they come from and also why they're there.
Yeah.
So no, I could talk for hours about it.
No, honestly, this is why I do the podcast. I'm like, I just want to hear everybody's stories because I love them so much. This,
yeah,
I think this term idea of mindfulness kind of gets thrown around a lot, and so many of us never experience it or experience it so few throughout our life. And to me, what you just described is like in that third breakdown, it was, you were so completely immersed in the moment,
yeah,
that you notice things that I don't think we would notice if we were multitasking or our head's kind of going somewhere else, but we're like literally just being so present. And it sounds so,
yeah,
like woo-woo almost, but it's when you actually find yourself in a moment of like just being so purely involved in something, you know, it's amazing what you can actually really deeply feel and notice, like all your senses, oh, yeah, kind of come alive. And I think of, for me, like having worked with children in the past, like sometimes you watch like kids and they are so immersed in a specific task that everything else like falls away, and yeah, we're all capable of it, but we've all been trained like to multitask and to do 100 things and to, you know, yeah, even if you're working on this, like what's the next step, the 5-year step. And
well, that I'm glad that you brought that up, because like when I said that I really started taking yoga seriously within 2 years of me working at it, is because like I went through a very negative like health problem. And realistically, once I talked to my doctor about it, he's like, all you need to do is de-stress. I'm like, that's all I got to do? I'm like, okay, perfect. So I slowly started walking away from a lot of the negative stimuli and like people, things, TV shows, like even like I had to walk away from a hockey team that like I loved dearly, but it was making me angry. You know, it was bringing out the bad side of myself, and I hate that. Like, I wouldn't say that I have anger issues, but like anger is inside of me. When I was first doing yoga, my anger button was the size of a stop sign, but now my anger button is the size of a dime. So it, like I said, you just got to be narrow down the emotions and kind of just sit with them. But at that 2-year mark, once I was able to slowly de-stress and take things away, I was able to prioritize the things that I should be spending my time thinking about. And the second that I was able to do that, then everything else kind of fell into place. But yeah, at the same time, like, you know, when you set intentions, those are little small intricate things that you want to change within yourself, within that moment, within that month, within that year, you have that availability to work on different things on a regular basis. So thank you, yoga.
No, I know. I preach yoga all the time. I am curious. So you said you left negative situations, and I think, yeah, someone else listening to that, like,
yeah,
doctor says de-stress, that sounds like a tall order to fill.
Yeah.
What did you start to, was it immediately you're like, okay, I got to leave behind this and replace it with this? Or was it like, I'm going to start going to my mat a little bit more and seeing what comes from it? Like, what was that first, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is this?
Well, for me personally, you know, I wasn't trying to replace something, or no, sorry, get rid of something and then replace it with something. For me, I don't keep track of a diary, but I know what emotions I don't like feeling. So if you're able to narrow those emotions down, then the situations and the stimuli that kind of follow those emotions, to me, are easy to see and predict. Second, that I was able to realize that I wanted to get out of that hockey team because of me being angry every single hockey game, walking away from that was fine. I wasn't expecting another negative stimuli to come in and replace it, which kind of tends to happen. The second that you get rid of one negative thing, something else pops up that you just want to adjust, but that's just yoga and you got to adjust as you go. But yeah, it's just removing one thing and then just moving on to something else and not being stagnant, but always moving forward, but also accepting the fact that everybody has to take a couple steps back and be stagnant in order to make those steps forward. So I'm seeing it on a daily basis online yoga classes and stuff like that. Like, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, they want to be in class and in person, but COVID's holding everybody back. But it's the determination and the drive that is pushing everybody to kind of open up a whole different, like, genre in yoga. So, yeah. And I'm thankful for it, you know, so.
I love what you said about you took, for somebody, it might be like a physical diary. For you, it was more mental. And it was, what emotion don't I like right now? And I think that's, we know, right? Whether we kind of acknowledge it or not, we're like, okay, like, for me, it was like, so stressed out. Like, I would get so in my head about some of these like crime shows I used to watch. And it was like, so stop watching them. And as soon as I did it, I was like, whew. Like, I didn't like the way that they were making me feel. And it's, I don't know if you're just like, well, like, you talk yourself into thinking you like these things, or it's like, you know, for me, it's like my parents really like them. So I'd sit and watch it with them. And it was like, I really don't like the way these shows make me feel. They're so negative.
Yeah.
That it's such an easy stop for me to just stop watching it and, you know, start watching something that makes me laugh or read a book or, but it puts the focus on you rather than, I think, you know, we get so caught up in what other people are thinking. It's like, no, what feeling don't I like? Maybe it's stress, anger, resentment. And it's like, okay, what brings those out in me? And then how can I let them go or walk away from them?
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm kind of, I'm witnessing a lot of it, but I'm also going through a lot of it. And I feel that the biggest things that the human population need to work on is resentment and fake apologies. You know, jealousy, resentment, I think are the two biggest problems that the human race is going through. But at the same time, like, just as long as you're acknowledging it, then it's quite easy to at least make a difference on a daily basis about it.
Yeah. Awesome. I would love to know, because I know Moto is a specific form of yoga. I also know that you do different I don't want to say modalities, but different styles of yoga now. When did you decide, like, you're practicing Moto, what draws you in next to, you know, I'm going to start maybe doing like yin, like now I'm really drawn to yin. And why were you drawn to that specific style?
Well, I guess my evolution into the modalities was definitely like the hatha base, hot yoga. I just love how I always told people, if you could survive a hot yoga class, you could survive everything. Like the way that my heart pounds, like even halfway through the class, it's like I'm running a marathon and it's only a half an hour into the class. So once I don't know, it's like I'm a creature of habit. And like I said, that Moto yoga brought me out of the North American shell. So that makes me feel that I'm loyal to the Moto practice and everything that it offers. And I've done Moto Calm training, the regular Moto training. I just got into Moto Flow, which is like vinyasa. So I am going to be like multi-trained in those modalities. But then I also went to the Octopus Garden in downtown Toronto to do restorative training. I absolutely love that. So I got to see like different studios and different training procedures and different instructors with their own different perspectives. And I think that's the most important thing, is not really being, I guess, pigeonholed into I never know like determination or that, but I guess being putting baby in the corner. Like I think being trained in multiple like styles is like the best bet to do. But that being said, like I'm Moto Calm trained. So that is a lot of yin, restorative, breath work and meditation. So it's a lot of modalities wrapped up into one nice package. But it's interesting because it's like, they don't really teach a lot of spirituality within this, which I respect at the same time, because when I reverse and think back to 11 years ago, when I first started walking or started doing the yoga, if I walked into that yoga class and started having a teacher bark at me about my root chakra being out of balance and all that stuff, I would get up and leave. You know, it's, I think, taking those small steps in terms of the spirituality that comes with yoga is that small step. And a lot of my good friends that I love dearly kind of question, how come I don't have like a deeper yoga practice? It's because like it doesn't completely speak to me that much. And to me, if I'm going to teach you something wholeheartedly, I want to stand behind that wholeheartedly. I'm not going to fake my persona just to sell you on something that might help you in the long run. But at the same time, like I have other friends that I can refer you to. And that's what I've been doing. Like I've got multiple friends that make malas. Like I do believe in energy, like big time. So a lot of the bracelets and malas that I wear are on things that I want to better myself with. But am I going to do a workshop on like energy bands? Probably not, you know, but do I wear them every day? Do I feel naked when I don't wear them? Yeah. But like I said, there's other people that are more educated than I am. So I feel like respecting other yoga teachers' perspectives on yoga is extremely important. But I felt very defensive when these other yoga teachers were questioning my belief system in like chakras. Like I do believe them, but like I don't do it every day, you know? So I got to sit back and relax. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm a worse yoga teacher because of it. And to me, I feel like that's extremely important. But at the same time, like I got to respect the fact that like these other teachers did dedicate like 6 months to a year to narrow down their focus on chakra alignment as well as other things like Reiki and whatnot. So yeah, just sit back and enjoy the ride because there's information left, right, and center.
You know, it's funny that you brought that up because I feel like, first of all, and I don't know if these people are listening, I feel like that's the most un-yogic thing to say to someone is that they're not more of a yogi. Like that just seems really counterintuitive.
Trust me. And when the two people said it to me just this past summer, like I did feel broken.
Yeah.
I was like, well, no, I don't like have a solid like chakra. I don't chant. Like, does that mean that I should quit teaching yoga? Cause I don't know. I'm not trying to speak on behalf of my students, but I think like, you know, 10 to 15 of them just here at this studio alone would be pretty upset that I left because like other yoga teachers made me feel bad about not having a chakra alignment, you know?
No, that's so, I feel like sometimes we can get so in the yoga world where it's like, people believe that if you don't do certain things, like right off the bat of my head, if you're not vegan, you're not a yoga or a yogi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so far removed from the truth. And that's the most un-yogic thing that you could say about someone is that they're not more in your perspective. Yoga teacher or a yoga practitioner. And that's one of the things I like to break down the stigma of that.
Yeah. And the best way that I can describe it, it's not physical competition, it's spiritual competition. In competition, there is no space for it in yoga whatsoever. But yet you have the thought process to make me feel bad about the things that I believe in.
Yeah.
Which to me, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to let you sit in your space, let you believe what you want. But like what it boils down to is I've got a full-time job and I literally push myself on a weekly basis to help people in the yoga room.
And,
you know, if they don't appreciate that, then I'm sorry. But like, once you get to know me and realize that, like, I'm literally feel like I'm put on this earth to help the people around me, that like they see that once they get to know me.
And people are drawn to you. Like we've talked about before in the past, as a yoga teacher, as a human being, you're not for everybody. I'm not the correct yoga teacher if you want somebody who doesn't swear or cuss or crack jokes in my class.
I'm surprised I haven't swore already.
That's like, I'm that teacher. I love to like crack a good joke or to make like a funny pun, or you will hear me swear in a class, and you know, and like not like belligerent stuff, but like it comes out.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right, and it's like, but even not as a yoga teacher, like if you don't like a person who's like that, like I'm not the person for you. And I think maybe it's like as a yoga practitioner, I'm very much, I don't love confrontation. I really like, I want people to like me. I want that, but I know that's not the case. Like there are people who like flat out don't like me for whatever reason. And that's been a little, a hard lesson to learn, but it's, your tribe will come to you. And you don't want those people who aren't your tribe to be part of it anyway, because they're just going to bring in a negative energy to it.
Exactly.
Is there any other forms of like wellness or health that you add into your daily life or even on a weekly basis?
Yeah. So like my diet was the biggest thing like holding me back, like with all the sports that I did as well as my yoga. I'd finish up a yoga class and go right to McDonald's and get like 10 chicken nuggets and like a McDouble and large this and large that. And I was in excess, you know, and once I was able to kind of, you know, once COVID hit and took my sports away, my eating habits never did. So I hired a nutritionist. She hooked me up with like a vegan, like vegetarian diet. And then just salt and peppered little like meat, like salmon and lean turkey and chicken. But now that diet is still kind of a part of my daily thing. But what I may lack in chakra alignment, I make up for in moon cycles. I follow my biorhythm like quite a lot. I was able to actually predict bad days. I was able to predict good days just by looking at this app that I own. And the app that I own is no longer in service, but they still pay homage to the people that paid for their app. But some of the other ones that I've looked at, you know, they're pretty much the same, but I've never actually gone out to go pay for a professional to go do my chart. But yeah, I look at it, I'd say probably three times a week just to make, today feels like an emotionally shit day or bad day. So I'm going to look at my app and see like if it's actually legit or not. And within the last 4 years, I've been able to use my own, I don't know if I can even call it like qualitative or quantitative data, but I've been able to look at what's in front of me, appeal it or apply it to my own emotion and physical well-being, that I have been able to notice differences within these cycles. But with that being said, I've also tried to listen to the universe and little hints, and especially with the moon, like relative to the moon, and asking certain things to the moon to hopefully come to fruition. Broke my heart like two Christmases ago. So I think it's very important to not be completely invested in that, but also to acknowledge the fact that, like, you know, sometimes the universe puts things in front of your face to question your path. So sometimes it may seem that you're supposed to jump all over it, but realistically, like, sometimes you're supposed to avoid it. But it's being just consciously aware of your own perception to make sure that you're making the right decisions. If you make the wrong decision, then hopefully you have another day to better yourself.
You're spiritual as you're talking about this. This is your spirituality. I love it so much. That's so cool. I didn't know this about you. I'm like, it's really, really cool. Also, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but I feel like afterwards we're going to need to talk about human design a little bit, because I feel like you'd be right up your alley.
There's definitely some small things that I'd like to still change about myself. But I definitely feel that with some of the professional people around everybody's lives, I feel that, like, you know, little small pieces of information from multiple people do paint a bigger picture for you to decide in. And I think having another third person, like outside of your physical self and mental self, is able to really narrow down like the things that you should start looking forward to.
Yeah. And it's like you pick and choose things that like really resonate with you. Like the moon cycle really resonates with you. So you took that up and it's
energy
like,
bracelets, you name
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like it's just, you're your own unique person and you adapt and apply things that really resonate with you. Like there's some things in the yoga world that don't really resonate with me and others that I like, I'm so crazy about. And it's,
You go all in.
Yeah. And it just makes you that unique person that somehow we're not supposed to be, but we're encouraged to be, but also like, don't be it too much. Like,
Brahmacharya, right? In excess.
Exactly. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you wish I had asked you, or a tip or trick that you want to leave for someone who is maybe starting their own journey?
Yeah. There's not one real topic that I feel that we should be bringing up. The only thing that I guess the biggest thing in my life is knowing and accepting your own faults. You know, obviously there's some things that like I want to change about myself, and it's not like a switch that happens, but at the same time, it's small steps. You know, I don't like to feel anger, so I've worked on it, and I wouldn't say that I've perfected it, but like now my anger button is almost like slim to nil. But with that being said, every single person in this world is broken. Nobody in this world should be walking around thinking that they're perfect. I feel that like you should acknowledge those mistakes, acknowledging your own downfalls or pitfalls or whatever it is, and hold them tight and just know that like if you do feel that you want to be a better person, those things will eventually change. But then having people around, like I like surrounding myself with people that don't like to sugarcoat things. I need to hear the brutal truth rather than white lies to make myself feel better. So that being said, I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Carrie Cruz. She was my mentor for teacher training. And her and my dad are literally the only people that could really yell at me and really question who I am as a person and call me out on my own bullshit. Because I think a lot of people do get stuck in their own head, where like, yeah, I am saying and I am doing the right things here and there, but realistically, like sometimes it comes off as like overconfidence or a negative emotion. But you know, the perfect example, I'm a Leo. Sometimes like, you know, I feel like I'm grounded and I'm completely normal, but to the outsider, they're like, wow, that guy is like so high on himself, his confidence is shining throughout the sign, and he like literally wants to be the only person in the room talking, but like I need to get checked, you know. I wear my grounding malas, sometimes I wear my protection malas, sometimes I wear like my full moon mala, where like I need to bring out a little bit more light. So it's just acknowledging your own downfalls and either curbing them yourself or having just one person in your world that knows who your baseline is and making sure that you're within the reasonable, I guess, the plus or minus of your baseline.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's one of the things I agree with you about being, sometimes we can, I feel like the experiences that have happened to us happen to us for a reason. And we're not meant to suppress them or forget about them. We can move on from them and we can grow from them. But, you know, some people just totally suppress it and like never acknowledge it. And it's like, but they happen to you for a reason, and take that as a learning opportunity. And you don't have to revert back to that, but take it as growth. Like you're growing from it. Acknowledge the point that you were at and the point that you're going to and where you are. And some of these steps will be gigantic and they'll happen really fast, and some of them will happen a lot slower. And you know, sometimes we get really impatient with those slow process, but it's still a process, and we still have to be kind to ourselves and practice our yamas and yamas.
And I'm glad that you said that you got to be kind to yourself, because yoga has definitely made me kind of look back on all of the things that I've done in my life. And the best way I could have put it is like, you know, something stupid that I did when I was 22 years old, and like I'm 40 years old, and yet it's still giving me a negative emotion thinking about it. So like noticing, like, you know, back then I wouldn't say an overly controlling and jealous guy, but like those two things ruined a couple relationships that I held dear to my heart. Now, fast forward 10 years, I'm in a relationship where there's some trust issues and jealousy issues on the opposite end. And I actually like became angry at my girlfriend at the time because of these issues, but I completely forgot that I had those exact same issues 10 years before. And yet I was holding those exact same issues against her because I blocked it out. It took another yoga teacher to basically ask me a question about, you know, how I was when I was younger to make me realize, holy shit, out of all those things that have made me disgusted and like, I guess not remorseful, but like negative in my, at that time, current relationship was because of holding on to a negative thing that made me feel like I was disgusting with it. So yeah, it's definitely opened things up in terms of your past and your decisions, but you literally have to sit with the mistakes that you've made in your life and then just hope that the positive and love that surrounds you like forgets about that or just acknowledges your shitty past and hope that like you are trying to better yourself. But like the people who knew me and only knew me in my early 20s, like they don't know me now. So if I'm trying my best to reach out to the people in my past who apologize for my own personal downfalls and they don't want to hear it, then I have to accept that and accept the fact that I put myself in this position. And I have to deal with the fact that like they don't want to listen to my apology because I was an idiot back then. So yeah, the yoga world's messed up.
I feel like I could talk to you so much about just everything. We always have so much to talk about in our conversations. I feel like even in that short little window that we had between me ending and you starting class, they were always really meaningful.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, big time.
I want to be mindful of your time. Before I send everybody to check out what you're doing and to connect with you online, we have five bonus questions just to get to know you in a different way.
Okay, sure.
Ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Question number one is, what is a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you value and you want to share with the audience?
That's a pretty good question. So book, podcast, and what was the other one?
Or resource.
I don't know. I've read a Yin book with the Tara Powers and
related. It can be literally something that helped you know, personal development, a fiction book that you're like, man, it just totally took me into a different world, or a podcast that makes you laugh.
The first thing that pops up into my mind is all the amazing people that like are in my life. You know, I don't really go into self-help books. You know, I don't fall into that. I know I have thought about stuff like that, but like I reach out to the people that I think knows the situation as well as the subject that I'm concerned of. Then I have a huge amount of tools, aka people in my life that know me as my baseline, but also know where I'm trying to be in my life. So yeah, I think like using your friends and family as well as your own enemies to kind of make you realize what your own downfalls are and also what your positive, I guess, like, yeah, like what your own light is.
Awesome. I feel like this is going to tie into question two, so you can let me know if that's the same answer you want to give. But question two is, who is a person or influencer that you look up to for inspiration?
For inspiration, yeah, that's it's been really hard through COVID, you know, like, you know, I'm a very face-to-face person, so not having a face-to-face person in the yoga world has definitely been a little bit tough. But yeah, no, it's I'd say Carrie Cruz, my dad, even a couple of vinyasa teachers from my past, Aaron here, Michael Sandal, like, they're all people that have built me into who I am as a yogi right now. But then when I have other friends like yourself, Katie Bushy, Emily Day, I'm honored to be friends with women like you. You know, it's women empowerment. I think I'm from my own personal perspective as a, what I feel like is a typical North American male is, it feels like within the last couple of years, the talk about confidence and expressing yourself has been extremely important to what I witnessed it firsthand in teacher training. There was 55 women and 4 guys. The amount of negativity and negative self-talk that I heard on a regular basis made my heart hurt, because I looked at all of these women as superstars, as goddesses walking around the earth, and then to hear them talk negative about themselves literally ripped my heart in half. So I am beyond thankful to have women like you, Emily, Katie, pumping up confidence and love inside of women left, right, and center. Then that's all I'm really hopeful for. Like, the typical male will take a very long time to eventually break out of the male, what's the word?
Like a mold?
Not like masculine, but the toxic masculinity.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the word that's been thrown around the most, that like it's going to take the longest. But with what you guys are teaching women today, and I guess I shouldn't say women, I just think like maybe humans in general, is extremely important, and I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much for that. It's a never-ending journey, and it's,
oh yeah,
you know, I was just saying to my husband that for every 10 comments or talks that you hear of empowerment and confidence with other women, there's always somebody who comes in and just tries to rip it down, and you're like, why are you this way? Stop being this way. It's so mean. Stop being mean. It's a journey. It's a process, but I feel like we're trying.
Yeah, well, but that's what I mean is that like I'm seeing it like I'm on Instagram a couple times a day, and I get to see the stories. I get to hear of the tears running down the face, like opening up, and I think the majority of the public need to see and feel that, you know. And if you don't feel another person opening up and breaking down over social media, then like maybe there's some like harder walls inside yourself that need to get broken down. But you know, easier said than done. I'm just a typical male that I feel like is articulate in my own emotions, where I'm able to narrow that stuff down. So I feel like I do have an opinion on stuff, but like I said, like I'm just a dude.
You're a great dude, though. We need more guys like you in the world. Question
you.
Number 3 is, what are you grateful for today?
I'm grateful for this studio. I'm grateful that COVID is finally, you know, slightly like loosened up a wee bit, but you're getting a variant slam in the face, left, right, and center, which I think is going to be another lockdown in about 3-4 months. They're just giving us the excuse already. But like I'm sitting here in my favorite place, where it's like a second home. I've got a key to the studio, so I've got free rein into it. But I've got the love and support of Rachel, as well as numerous other students and teachers in this place that make me kind of like, I live in a black and white world in my full-time job, and this is where I get to live in the expressive color. So I feel like I am beyond blessed to be in the position that I'm in right now, to experience everything.
I love that so much. Question 4 is, I'm so curious about this one, and maybe you don't resonate with it, but I'm curious. Yeah. What is your spirit animal?
Bear.
Okay.
I've actually, yeah, I've done a few workshops with Natty Howard, where I was able to find out, like, you know, what your spirit animal is. And I've had reoccurring dreams as a kid that I'm a bear, like even like walking around my house, and I've got tattoos of bears. Like, yeah, I've done this online thing of like what my totem like pole is, like relative to the animals, and wolf is first, bear is number two, and then I've got elk and forget what the last one was, but like, yeah, oh, I'll say bear.
That's so cool.
A hibernating bear.
I love that so much. My final question for you is, what is your favorite form of self-care to practice?
Self-care to practice. Whoa. I love sleep and I love napping.
There you go.
I consider napping almost a hobby of mine, but you know, with the diet change and as well as like lifestyle changes, I'm trying to get rid of naps, and I haven't napped in a bit, and I feel more awake and more alive not napping and not hitting that snooze button 10 million times before work. So yeah, just sleep, yeah. I think is the most important thing of self-care. And like, I'm blessed that I've got all my mobility within me. So my movement is another thing that I'm blessed to have. So, you know, if I'm ever frustrated or in freaking out, I can go for a run and that'll be gone in half an hour. I can go disappear into a hot room for 20 minutes and, you know, cry it out while I'm doing beer drops in a three. So
amazing. Cam, this has been such a fun conversation.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah. If people want to check you out online and follow along on your adventures, where can everybody go and find you?
I'm thinking about this, and I don't want this to sound like a very certain way, but like I don't need attention or recognition with yoga. My heart's filled every single time that I step foot into this studio. So all I'm asking is for you to support your local yoga studio, your yoga teachers, your friends that are part of the yoga world, people who make malas, people who do vegan like meal preps, and like even like the vegan and gluten-free restaurants and all that stuff, small business, like you name it. Like, please support everybody else around me. I've got the tools and the people in my life that fill up my heart on a regular basis. So just keep supporting local and just support the people that are grinding. That's all I can say.
No one has ever come on and said that, and that just warmed my heart so, so very much. I will say though, if anyone is in Brooklyn, they need to go to Moto Brooklyn and practice with you. But it's it's so true. We need to support small businesses now more than ever.
Oh, I will be doing retreats down the road. So I guess there me and go. My friend Allison Munshaw from the Yoga Cloud in Orangeville, we did a yoga retreat last year right before COVID hit, and we were about to take off flying, but then everything got shut down. So down the road, hopefully you might be able to give me some shout outs for that.
Yeah,
other
absolutely.
Other than that, that's about it.
Perfect. Cam, this has been such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for coming on
the show. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you give it a 5-star rating and review. It takes 2 moments of your time and truly does make a difference in growing this community and showing support for the show. Make sure to stop by and say hi on social media. Take a screenshot of this episode, tag our guest, tag me, and hashtag the show, hashtag BYL podcast. Share it out on your Instagram stories so that we can share it out on ours, and I will make sure to slide into your DMs to say hello. Until next Monday, everyone, I can't wait to see you then. Namaste.